The midterm elections were full of historic firsts. Voters in Maryland elected the state's first black governor, Wes Moore. In Massachusetts, Maura Healey became the first lesbian in the country to win a race for governor. And Republican Sarah Huckabee Sanders will become the first woman to lead the state of Arkansas. Her father was the former governor of Arkansas. Meanwhile, Gen Z will get its first crack at Congress after 25-year-old Democrat Maxwell Frost won his race in Florida.
There was no red wave washing across the country, but as votes are being counted, Republicans could take at least the House. So what does this mean? We want to bring in two of our favorite big picture people, Ron Elving, senior Washington editor and correspondent for NPR. Hi, Ron.
Good to be with you.
And Julian Zelizer, professor of history at Princeton University. Julian, welcome to you as well.
Hi there. Great to be with you.
Well, great to have the two of you together again for the first time. And Ron, I want to just cut to the chase here. And again, we will say over and over again, we don't yet have the full results. But this could be seen as a win for Democrats. We know Barack Obama said he had a shellacking after his midterms. He lost 63 seats. That's not happening now. But that didn't stop Kevin McCarthy, the Republican and would-be Republican leader, from claiming a Republican victory last night. Let's listen.
The American people are ready for a majority that will offer a new direction, that will put America back on track. Republicans are ready to deliver it.
So, Ron, is he right? Is this a Republican win if they take the House or the Senate? Even if it's by single digits, can they implement things they've been saying they will? McCarthy expected to disband the committee investigating the January 6th insurrection. That report's supposed to come out next month. So can Republicans do the things they've said they wanted to do if they get that small majority and take the House?
Yes, they can do some of them. They can certainly disband the January 6th committee, which will be done anyway, and its report will come out before they actually take formal control of the majority in the House the first week of January. So that report will beat that, and its impact, whatever it may be in the long run, has already been felt. And I think it has been felt, and I think it's been significant. They can also investigate Joe Biden and every member of his family and every member of his cabinet. And they have indicated that they plan to do exactly that. And they will hold those investigations over the next 2 years, and they will have whatever effect those investigations wind up having. We have no idea how effective they may be. What they will not be able to do is pass a lot of legislation, because even if the Republicans do take over the Senate by a vote, would not necessarily be on a Senate automatically willing to do whatever Kevin McCarthy's Republicans in the House want to do, particularly if it gets a little bit on the aggressive side. So then they have the other little problem of President Biden still having a veto power for the next 2 years, and they are not going to be anywhere even remotely close to a veto-proof majority in either chamber. So the main thing they could do in the Senate would be to shut down the nominations of President Biden for judgeships and other positions, say, in the executive branch.
But why don't we just back up just a little bit, though? Because, Julian, if you look at this historically, the party that holds the White House does not perform as well as Democrats did in last night's election. This was clearly not the drubbing that Republicans were banking on. What's your impression of what happened last night? I mean, is it too early to call the 2022 midterms a historical anomaly?
I do think it's too early to say that. It doesn't look... and it wasn't a shellacking. It wasn't a red wave. Democrats performed much better than expected. And in many pivotal Republican races, the candidates did not do well. That said, if Republicans walk away from this, either controlling the House or controlling both chambers, I don't think that's a Democratic win. And that still fits the pattern of poor results or difficult results. That's a better word for the president and his party. And as Ron said, there's a lot of damage that Republicans will be able to inflict, including just stalling President Biden's legislative agenda going into 2024. So I think it's a mixed bag, and a lot of it will really be determined by who controls the chambers once this is resolved.
Yeah, I guess that's what I was getting at, because you can say, hey, we didn't lose as much as we thought we might, but it still shifts this balance of power. And Fox News host Bret Baier says Republicans had a red wave in only one state. You know, this is Florida, where Governor Ron DeSantis claimed he rewrote the political map after his landslide 5-point win over Charlie Crist. DeSantis campaigning against COVID restrictions for parental rights in schools. Let's listen.
After 4 years, the people have delivered their verdict. Freedom is here to stay.
Ron, what are you thinking? Did he change the political map? I mean, we're going to be hearing from Donald Trump as well. What do you think of the DeSantis win?
He changed the political map in two ways. One, he won Miami-Dade County, which Republicans just don't do. And so that is a real wake-up call for Florida Democrats, for Democrats everywhere, to look very long and hard at that particular result. It's been deteriorating for them in that particular locality for a couple of cycles, and that's very discouraging for Democrats, but they need to look at it more carefully and see what they did not do. And what they did not do largely is organize well on the ground and make a strong case to the varied Spanish-speaking or Spanish origin populations of that part of the world, that part of Florida. So that's one way he redrew the map in Florida. The other way is quite literal. He himself redrew the redistricting lines, the district lines by which congressional seats and legislative seats are designed within that state. And he did it, no surprise at all, to advantage his own party. That's what parties do. They draw the district lines to advantage themselves. Usually it is not quite so dominated by one person, a governor, but in this case, Ron DeSantis really asserted himself and was able to do that, and that helped the Republicans, not only in the state legislature, but in their congressional dominance as well.
Well, and by the way, I said he had a 5-point lead. That wouldn't have been as big a deal as his probably 15-point lead, a little typo there. But, you know, he had a big, big win is what you're saying. And this also comes as, you know, Donald Trump was huffing and puffing a bit about his own plans. Peter, I know you have a thought on that.
Well, yeah. I mean, in fact, we have some tape here from his he's talking about J.D. Vance, who won his Senate race in Ohio, and the Georgia Senate candidate Herschel Walker, whose campaign has been mired in personal scandals. Let's just listen to what the former president had to say about that.
And we have a lot of other good ones going out there. Herschel's leading right now. So we have a lot of big races going on right now. So enjoy.
Actually, Herschel Walker's now behind. Numbers are changing. Warnock is just barely ahead, likely going to a runoff. But Julian, what do you think is going through Donald Trump's mind right now, and how these elections?
Well, that might have shifted.
Yeah, I mean, my guess is he's angry. I don't think he's happy. He wanted a narrative where this was a red wave, and it was just there was clarity in terms of the victory. Not only for the Republicans, but for the candidates he picked, that would set him up to be the most formidable candidate for 2024. That didn't happen. I think, given who he is, Trump is going to find enough victory, even in losses, to claim victory. And so you're going to hear a lot about Vance, and we'll see what happens in Georgia. But again, if control shifts to the Republicans, he will claim credit for that, either in the House and or the Senate. But now he's facing an even tougher opponent. I mean, DeSantis leaves this midterm a little like George W. Bush after 1998, as a governor who enjoyed a pretty resounding victory, including with constituencies that don't traditionally go Republican. And I'm sure that this is at the forefront of Trump's mind. And I wouldn't be surprised if this becomes the focus of the Trumpian attacks in the next few months, as opposed to the Democrats.
Well, and Ron Elving, your thoughts on that with a couple minutes left here. Where does this leave the electorate? I just, you know, we went into this election with masked armed people showing up at ballot boxes, frightening other voters, you know, all the heated rhetoric. Where are we? What do you think?
Well, for starters, I agree with Professor Zelitzer that Donald Trump would claim credit for the sunrise, and he will certainly claim credit for every bit of good news the Republicans got. But he was teasing next Tuesday as his presidential candidacy announcement, largely because the idea of a red wave was, in his mind, to carry him, to bear him back into the White House. That was what the red wave was entirely about. So that whole narrative, I think, is going to suffer in comparison with the much more solid claim for success that Ron DeSantis is going to have. As far as the electorate as a whole, I think we all have to be pleased and heartened that there does not seem to have been much disruption or significant amounts of harassment or people having a hard time voting or, for that matter, problems with the voting. A minor glitch in Arizona does not seem to have mattered at all. And people who want to deny the results of elections are not going to have much to go on.
Julian, we have less than a minute here. We will have a lot of opportunity to talk about Donald Trump, Ron DeSantis, these Senate races that are up in the air, the runoff in Georgia potentially. What is the one storyline last night that you think we didn't talk enough about or haven't talked about enough but will still be important in the weeks and months?
Democratic turnout. We remain a polarized nation. Turnout is what matters, and what's interesting is the ability of Democrats to get voters out there in a midterm election. And the numbers seem significant, and we're protection against a wave.
Yeah. That's Julian Zelizer. Go ahead.
Oh, excuse me, Robin. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Professor of History at Princeton University. Ron Elving, Senior Washington Editor and Correspondent at NPR. Thanks to you both.
Thanks for
having
us.
Thank you.